And you are tuned to listener-supported community radio, 90.1 KZFR in Chico. It is time for Butte Views and Beyond. Music of Ken Clark Trio in the background, doing Eternal Funk, our theme song here. When you hear that, you know what's coming. Butte Views and Beyond is a talk show that features cultural assets here in the North State, including museums. We also touch into local experiences, artistic endeavors, as well as economic development through culture and the arts. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll be here for an hour. My name is Ray Lager. I will be your host today right up till 7 o'clock. And Butte Views and Beyond is made possible by you, the KZFR supporter, and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Deborah Lucero and Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunities through arts and culture, producing community festivals and events, including Artoberfest, the True North Tour, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. We also want to thank Go Dry Carpet Cleaning, providing a low-moisture, deep-extraction method of carpet cleaning and smoke mitigation. It's eco-friendly with no harsh chemicals or wet carpets. To learn more, call Larry at 405-9180 or at Go Dry Carpet Cleaning on Facebook. Got dirty carpets? Don't cry. Call Larry at Go Dry. Gotta love that, huh?
Absolutely.
All right, I got a... special guest in the studio today from Chico State. Let's see, I'm already going to blow your title, Stephen. Stephen Cummins, who is the
director
of
University Public Engagement.
Public Engagement.
That's a fancy name that just means we put on some great events.
You guys put on a lot of great events. And you might know that this week they came out with their beautifully done magazine of upcoming events called Arts and Ideas, and it's the Chico State's Cultural District 2018-19 edition, and featuring all the wonderful performances that they'll have at Laxon Auditorium this year, and perfectly coincided with the media release on Tuesday. We have them on the air on Thursday.
There you go. Hey, timing is everything.
I got it, man. Thank you, and welcome to Butte Views and Beyond.
Oh, it's fantastic to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Well, you've brought a lot down, and we're going to actually do something a little different. We're going to be sampling some of the performers as we kind of go through the calendar and talk about what's new and what's different. And you got some big heavy hitters here and some new to the area acts as well.
Absolutely. You know, every year we try to put together a diverse array, you know, of genres, of styles, music, dance, theater, performance. And, you know, we're really happy with the way the season turned out. And, you know, the other thing is, Ray, that we keep adding things as the year goes on. So you might look at this brochure and say, oh, this is fine. But, you know, I wish they had, well, you know, hold your breath, because we might add something. In fact, just this week, we added David Sedaris to the season.
I saw that in a little new media release.
Yeah, it confirmed. It just confirmed on Monday, and boom, it's out there.
Yeah, and that's David Sedaris. I remember reading his first book, came out in, man, I want to say like 2001, 2002, something like that. It was a long time ago. And
we talked about you know, public radio and a morning edition producer. A young producer named Ira Glass. Well, we all know that name now.
Yeah, we've heard that guy.
But he was this unknown producer, and David Sedaris was doing, had written these monologues about his time as an elf at Macy's and the Santa Land Diaries, right? And David and Ira says, you know, I need to put you on the radio. And, you know, man, the rest is history. And he just came out with another book. About a month or two ago, and it's number one on the New York Times bestseller.
Oh yeah, his first book. I mean, he just came right out of the chute.
Yeah,
and became.
Well, he's the leading humorist of our time now. Really.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he really is. Yeah, just really really took it off. So let's crack the mag and
absolutely
and kind of look and see what's going on. I see you come right out of the gates with some local talent, which we love to see.
Yeah, we come out, you know, like we do every year with the Blue Room Young Company doing Mulan and Mulan Jr. And that's just, it's a wonderful time to see a bunch of local talent, kids who've been studying theater with the Blue Room Young Company, and they They do a great job every year, and we're thrilled that they've chosen Mulan this year, and that's how we start off the season. And then we're going into a little series that we're starting that we've just thrown a title on called Chico Voices, where we try to highlight some local and regional artists, and we're coming out of the gate with Mamuse, who, you know, I think it was just 5 or 6 years ago that they won that award, that competition from Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion, that sure. duet competition, and they've taken off since then. We love them here in Chico, and this is actually going to be an album release party, so we're thrilled to have them performing and releasing. It's the album's already out, but this is going to be their new concert, their first concert in Chico, promoting Prayers for Freedom.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds great. And we're going to sample some of that in just a minute, but we'll kind of roll through here.
Sure.
Just to give some people some highlights. You have some classical piano coming.
Oh, yeah. She's a Fei-Fei Dong. She's a Van Cliburn finalist, doing a classical piano recital featuring some Mozart and some Schumann and some Rachmaninoff, and that'll be in the beautiful new Zing Recital Hall.
Oh, nice.
If you haven't been in that place. We've got dance. We have comedians, Paula Poundstone.
Right, from Wait, Don't Tell Me. Yeah, I love that program.
Yeah, she'll be doing her comedy. A stunning contemporary ballet company, Complexions, out of New York. Complexions Contemporary Ballet. These two gentlemen, Dwight Roden and Desmond Richardson, they are... alums of the Alvin Ailey Company. So that sort of gives you an idea of their aesthetic, and it's just an absolutely beautiful contemporary ballet company. And you know, the season just keeps, you know, sort of flowing from there. We've got a great circus company that's returning, Cirque Mechanics. They've been here in Chico doing Pedal Punk and Boomtown and Birdhouse Factory, and now they're coming back with an all-new show called 42 feet, and 42 feet is actually the diameter of a standard circus ring.
Oh, okay.
And so this is all the magic and acrobatics that can happen in a from a strong man to great trapeze and silk aerial work. They're just a wonderful one of these, you know, modern in the style of Cirque du Soleil circuses.
Right, sounds like a great family one with a little modern twist to it.
Absolutely, and a lot of these that are definitely family friendly. You know, we not only do we have the evening performance, but you know, every year we bring in, oh gosh, we bus in maybe, you know, 13,000-14,000 kids to field trip shows. And so, for instance, 42 feet, or the next one on the season, Mariachi Herencia de Mexico, they're all performing not only for adults and families in the evening, but for local school kids in the morning.
Great.
So
great.
It's a great program, and we get a lot of support. And I have to give a shout-out to Enloe Hospital, because they help us put on that field trip series.
And oh, that's excellent, yeah.
We really do appreciate Enloe.
Yeah, that's great. And it's great, again, exposing kids to cultural...
Absolutely. Let's do it young. Get them excited about the arts. And a lot of these kids, sometimes that's their first live performance they've ever seen.
Right.
And it really, just the faces on those kids is...
Yeah.
That's...
It's like, yeah. You know, I remember hearing, you know, when we were kids, my folks would play a lot of classical music. We had a hi-fi, you know,
yeah,
in stereo.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
And they used to play a lot of Broadway show tunes. Again, growing up in New York, they used to go to the opera. They played a lot of opera stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're 5 years old and they've got, you know, the 1812 Overture turned up, or Peter Gynt Suite or something, and it just blows your mind.
Herb Alpert.
Herb Alpert.
Yeah, that was my dad had a couple Herb Alpert albums, and you're blown away from it. And then, you know, obviously the green cover with the woman in green.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, wow, the music's great. And, oh, my gosh, look at the cover art, too.
It changed a lot of minds, right?
Yeah.
And then Joan Baez on November 2nd, you know,
does
have
anybody
to say
know who
about
she
that.
Is?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know the story, right? That she played her first live performance in Paradise, California.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's this whole story about this. Billy DeBlanc, who does a Dead show on Friday, he's one of our partners on Playing Dead, was just talking about this, and She, I believe, did her first performance in front of an audience in Paradise, California, and 61 or something.
Oh, it had to have been.
A woman that was a local activist had her come up.
That is fantastic.
Saw it like at a house party in the Bay. Don't quote me on this, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
But it comes down to that. And somewhere, I believe, there's a tape of that floating around.
Oh, my gosh.
And apparently she got kind of upset that somebody was taping it. Anyway, we'll have to get to the bottom of that.
Well, you know, I mean, we're thrilled that, this is officially her last tour.
Right.
I mean, she's calling it the Fare Thee Well Tour. She makes it really clear that she's not going to stop performing, but she just feels like, you know, I can't do 30,
yeah, no more
40,
road.
50 dates,
right,
you know, on a tour. So we're thrilled that she's going to make a stop on this tour in Chico, California. That's just a great treat for us.
Oh, yeah. And that's, you know, that'll, so if you, you know, that'll go quick. Let's play a little Ma Muse.
Absolutely.
Because, you and I will start going and in a half hour I'll be shot.
I know.
So let's play a few minutes of Ma Muse and we'll roll back to some of the highlights coming up here on Butte Views and Beyond.
Ooh, I believe in the power of kindness. Ooh, I believe in the power of love. Ooh, I believe in the power of kindness. I believe in the power of love. We don't know what's coming, but we can help shape what's ahead. Kindness as our currency, the commonwealth is in our hands. So give a little all, give a lot, don't stop. A helping hand makes the world go round, there's more than enough. Ooh, I believe in the power of kindness. Ooh, I believe in the power of love. Power of love. Ooh, I believe in the power of kindness. Kindness. Ooh, I believe in the power of love. Look up now, people, but keep your ear to the ground. We are the river flowing, generosity abounds. So give a little all, give a lot, don't stop. A helping hand makes the world go round, there's more than enough. Ooh, I believe in the power of kindness. Ooh, I believe in the power of love. Power of love. Ooh, I believe in the power of kindness. I believe in the power of love. Honeybees serve sweetness, only to help the world bloom. Bringing love to the flower, from the flower to the fruit. We can learn a thing or two. So give a little all, give a lot, don't stop. A helping hand makes the world go round, there's more than enough. I believe in the power of love, power of love. Ooh, I believe in the power of kindness, kindness. Ooh, I believe in the power of love.
Chico's own.
We don't know. Chico's own. Chico Voices. That's
Chico Voices.
That's the series.
A little bit of Ma Muse there for you. Right here on the KCFR. Okay, I just got a... you gotta love the power of radio. Billy DeBlanc, he's out there listening. The stealth tape was made by Virginia Franklin's class. Uh-oh. Out of her... and she outed her as a liberal. Uh-oh. I better stop. I might be getting people in trouble. Thanks, Billy, for the update. Crazy. Crazy, crazy. All right, let's get back to the schedule. Not to jump ahead too far. But Norma. Tell me about Norma.
Norma is it's part of our opera series.
Okay.
And so we've got the San Francisco Grand Opera Cinema Series. It's a fabulous series of films that we show, and Norma is the second in the season. The first is a production of Showboat, and Norma is a tale of druids set in the like 50 BC. But these are just really wonderful staged operas and then filmed by the San Francisco Opera. And we show them in Zing Recital Hall. We do four of them in the season. Okay. And it's just a great opportunity for opera fans to get some really, really fine first-rate performances. Yeah, the first one is Showboat, Jerome Kern, Oscar Hammerstein, and then Norma by Bellini.
And then I see you have a ballet coming as well with Cinderella.
That is our own Chico Community Ballet.
There you go.
Doing Cinderella Magical Ballet, and that comes around Thanksgiving time in the season. And we're thrilled that the Community Ballet, Chico Community Ballet, is back again with us. They do, everyone has come and seen their new Nutcracker, and Cinderella is just one of those classic story ballets, and they do a wonderful job with those. And then on the heels of that, we've got me, a former Texan. I love my Texas troubadours.
There you go.
And so we have an evening of Lyle Lovett and Robert Earl Keen, two just great singer-songwriters. And so, and I look back at this and I think I was in college at the University of Texas in the early 80s, and in the early 80s, maybe probably late 70s, given their age, they were at school at the Texas A&M University,
right,
College
A&M,
Station,
yeah.
And that's where they met, and they just were hanging out on the porch.
The front porch song, man.
Right, exactly.
The front porch song.
And
freaking out those Presbyterians.
Absolutely. And so, these guys are just classic Texas songwriters. And I've seen them both in concert, several times, presented them before, and just I love it when they pair it all away and just sit on stage, the two of them, without the band and without everything else, and just tell their stories and sing their songs. Those are to me are those really special times, because you take all of the extra away, and it's just a guy and a guitar and poetry.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a huge Robert Earl Keen fan, and yes, say no more. Those guys are absolutely fantastic. And I know he's played here a number of times. I first saw him. We were just talking in Strawberry in the late '90s.
Yeah.
He was up there. I can't remember, '96, '97, or something like that. But I know he's been through Chico, and that's. But the two of them together, kind of bringing back the bringing it all back.
Bringing back to the porch days in the late '70s. Yeah.
Bringing it all
it's
home.
It's nice.
All righty. So let's play let me cue up a Robert Earl Keen tune.
Oh, fantastic.
We'll get that going here.
He's just a classic. Well, what he says, I saw him in concert, and he calls it best Western music. Because one day he was laying in bed in his hotel room, and he says, well, I don't sing country, and I don't sing folk. What is it I sing? I can't put my finger on it. And I looked out of the window of the hotel room, and I realized, I sing best Western music.
There you go. You gotta love it. No, that's. I mean, I love his humor.
Yeah,
dry. He doesn't take himself very seriously, and he's a road monster. And
yeah,
if you spend a lot of time driving, you definitely want to check this guy out.
Absolutely,
he is singing songs.
He
about,
sings great songs that he's written, and then he knows a good song, because you guys presented James McMurtry not too long ago,
sure.
And he sings. He sings James's Leveland.
Leveland, yep.
Puts that on a lot of sets and a couple other McMurtry songs.
Matter of fact, I thought he wrote that song until I heard, I'm like, wait, who wrote this song? Oh, McMurtry wrote that song? Get out of here. I thought Robert wrote that.
No, he knows a good song when he hears it.
Yeah, he pens a lot. All right, let's listen to a song by Robert Earl Keen coming November 30th to Laxon Auditorium Friday night. Sounds like a fun night.
Absolutely. That might be a jazz number from.
Yeah, that's not.
You know who that is?
That
could be jazz. Jazz Reach, or bet you that's.
That's not number 17. That's
popping.
Sure. Interesting.
So our numbering on our sample CD isn't as good as we want. We'll figure that one out in a bit.
All right.
That is probably another band that's coming. Jazz Reach. Which we presented with a little bit of help from you and NorCal Jazz Festival a few years ago,
right,
at the
right.
Big Room.
Sure.
And so they're coming back to town, and this is a show called Poppin', which is the history of Blue Note Records. So they're going to be playing a lot of these historic hits with a little bit of story behind what made Blue Note Records just the monster jazz label that it is.
So. And since we were talking about the kind of November, Leanne Rimes, why don't you give us a little bit about what that's going to be about.
Absolutely.
I'll see if I can find that soon.
Absolutely. Leanne Rimes, you know, is a CMA award-winning country artist, and we're thrilled that she is going to be here doing her Christmas show. So we have her at Christmas time. We have a lot of Christmas stuff, but... you know, Celtic Woman, which is a PBS special, be a little early in Christmas, and they're playing with North State Symphony. And then Leanne Rimes hits with her show, You and Me and Christmas. And it's a bunch of Leanne Rimes, you know, CMA award-winning country artist. But she also then plays a lot of, you know, classic Christmas tunes and some Christmas songs that she writes. And she just has... you know, a stunning, stunning voice. And so that's the final one of our Christmas shows. But we also then have Believe in there. And then the School of the Arts is Glorious Sounds of the Season. And School of the Arts is presenting a Charlie Brown Christmas. So there's a lot to do in the month of December at Chico Performances and at the School of the Arts. And but she's no Robert Earl Keen. I don't know. Have you found the Robert Earl Keen?
We're still looking.
We're jonesing for Robert. But then we move into the spring, and then we've got, you know, everybody's favorite Uncle Dad's Art Collective, another fantastic sellout show always, and they will be doing this year. The artist of choice is Madonna. And so we're thrilled about them. If you've seen them in the past, they've been doing, you know, Queen and Stevie Wonder this last year, and the Beatles' Abbey Road. This year, Uncle Dad's is tackling the Material Girl and doing the best of Madonna. Three shows.
You know, it's serendipity that you mentioned this, because one of my interviews at the end of the show is with Uncle Dad's Art Collective.
Oh!
Because they're getting ready for their small town big sound.
Absolutely.
Which is another thing that I know you guys are familiar with. So, you know, when you're in a smaller town like Chico, a lot of these pragmatic individuals that live in our community overlap.
Well, Uncle Dad's Art Collective, I have nothing but love for these guys.
Yeah, Josh and the boys are great.
They are just the most amazing artists, always creative, always thinking out of the box. We were thrilled to work with them last year on Ryan Keberly, a wonderful jazz performance that we partnered with them to bring to the community. You know, these guys are always thinking about making music and finding music that is, you know, just the most creative and the most entertaining. And sometimes boundary pushing music that you can imagine. So all props to Uncle Dad's Art Collective. We love them. We love them. And we're thrilled that they want to keep working with Chico Performances to do their big tribute shows. And then, you know, it's hard to play music to a show that has no spoken words at all. But in January, there's a great, great performance. If you go to our website, chicoperformances.com, you can see some video on these. But there's a performance called Airplay. Two artists on stage, sort of in the clown tradition, with amazing visuals and silent storytelling. And it's hard to describe it and paint it with words, but beautiful silk and things flying through the air as they just tell a very simple story. And you would think, oh, that's, you know, a family show. Young and old, everyone is mesmerized by this. I can't say enough good about Airplay, which is coming in January. And then we mentioned already Jazz Reach, popping the story of Blue Note Records. And then we get into February when we're doing another Chico Voices. And we have Pat Hull and Hannah Jane Kyle. And everybody loves Pat and Hannah Jane.
Yeah. Well, Hannah Jane just CD release party not too long ago.
Yep.
That was incredible. She is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
She,
yeah.
I remember meeting her up here when she was 17.
Really?
Yeah. She came up with she was a kid.
Yeah.
And she won. We used to have a singer-songwriter contest that we used to do at the Big Room a few years back. And she was one of the winners and just literally rocketed from there.
Yeah, yeah. It's an evening of Pat Hull and Hannah Jane, two separate sets. And, you know, the idea behind this is this gives people a chance. It gives them a chance to perform in a space. We're doing these concerts in Harlan Adams Theater, which seats 460. So it's a great size for these artists. And then it gives them a chance to perform. And it also gives audiences who may not be necessarily comfortable with the club scene to come out to the theater in a sort of seated show where we're going to try to give them the best sound and the best environment to perform in as possible.
I'm thrilled for her to be playing on Lacson Auditorium stage.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, before we run out of time, I think I finally found some Robert Earl
King. All right!
Through the magic of the internet.
Fantastic.
Let's see if we can get this going now that we teased Joel with it. You gotta love the sound of those Texas Troubadours. Fun stuff. And he's always got a fabulous band as well. You know, he played up at the California World Fest in Grass Valley somewhere around 2000. And I got a chance to meet him back in my tie-dye days. He actually bought a tie-dye dress for his daughter.
Oh, fantastic.
And it was like 114 up there. It was like brutal. Brutally hot, but he was the headliner and closed the show and came on at night. It was just absolutely fabulous. Brian Duckworth was still his fiddle player in those days and just ripped it up. And it's great. Great, yeah. Great stuff.
No, he's a fabulous guy, and he's, he's so good to his fans. He's just got this wonderful following.
Yeah, he's got that vibe.
He does, definitely has the vibe.
You just know. You know, he's a nice guy. He's just like, he came in. It's funny, he came in. I said, no, I'm a huge fan. You can have it. He goes, no, I don't want anybody to ever say that Robert Earl Keen Jr. doesn't pay his way. I'm like, all right, that'll be like $49. He goes, oh, I only have like 30. He goes, I had no idea. I'm like, yeah, dude, I know. Anyway, well, we're going to probably, so people want more information, obviously.
ChicoPerformances.com.
Pretty simple. When's the tickets? Are tickets on sale already? Or?
No, tickets go on sale. To the member subscriber week is the 6th. If you're buying five or more, you know, look us up that week.
Okay.
Or if you're a member donor, look us up that week. And then single tickets will go on sale about 2 weeks later. And then we're off to the races. And like we said, we'll be adding shows as opportunities present themselves to us, you know, as people are coming down I-5
and between Portland and San Francisco.
Right, picking up some new ones up. And I see you got one of the Marcelluses coming to town.
We do, Delphio, the brother number three.
Yeah, brother three, trombonist, right?
Yes, absolutely. And yeah. This is classic New Orleans,
right?
Jazz, big band jazz. These guys are rocking it.
Yeah, that'll be a great one.
That'll be a great show. Another show that I tell you, it's one of my favorites that's on the season this year. It's a dance theater piece called Happy Hour, which we're doing in a small space. It's only going to seat about 130 people.
So tickets are going to go fast to that. But Happy Hour, I tell you, it is, you know, it's a show where, again, we have some video on the website, chicoperformances.com. It's a hard one to describe, but these two, you come into the room and you're at an office party. You're pouring drinks, people are cracking jokes. You're like, okay, I'm at an office happy hour.
Uh-huh.
And these two women, dressed as men, come into the room and then they do everything wrong. They hit on girls, you know, this is sort of...
Yeah, totally PC wrong.
Yeah, it's this social commentary, but it's funny as can be.
Excellent.
It's cathartic. It is just a really wonderful performance called Happy Hour by the Monica Bill Barnes Company. And we're thrilled we're bringing them back. And if you saw our Ira Glass show, Two Dancers, a radio host show that we did a couple years ago, Monica Bill Barnes is the artist behind that.
Oh, okay.
And then the other is a spring show that I'm so excited about. And we're going to go out with some music by them. But we have two fantastic bands, the Dust Bowl Revival.
Mm-hmm.
And Hot Club of Cowtown,
right?
And they're doing a tribute to the band.
Oh, nice!
So they're going to play a lot of their own stuff, which is fantastic.
Sure.
And then they're going to do their take on, you know, one of the most iconic groups of our lifetime, the band.
And this is what 50th anniversary of Big Pink or something is this
year? 50th anniversary, so it's well timed,
right?
And I saw a little piece of this show a little while ago up in Seattle, and. I had never seen Dust Bowl Revival live before, and I was blown away. So if you want to take us out on that, thanks, Ray, for asking
me. That sounds good. Hey, for sure. And again, Chico Performances to get your tickets. And as you know, a lot of these sell out quickly, but fabulous things, something you've never seen, something you're familiar with. I got some stories, you know. I got to see the band when they regrouped in the late 80s, in like 83, 84, something like that.
Okay, now I'm envious.
They played in, let me see if I can get this right, they played in Grass Valley, and it was the Jerry Garcia Band, Etta James, and the band.
Oh my gosh.
It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you can die after that.
Right,
you know, you've lived.
It was in the fairgrounds in the afternoon, and it was the comeback reunion of the band after, you know what, I don't know, 8 or 9 years of hiatus.
Yeah.
And it was pretty awesome, man. Pretty fun stuff.
Oh, my gosh. So.
All right, thank you, Stephen, for taking the time. And
Ray,
let's
for
go out with, with Dust Bowl Revival.
Dust Bowl Revival.
But you don't know me, 'cause I've been watching you, watching her. It started slowly, you're smoking on the fire escape. You let her palm on, grinning like a child. And ooh, there's something wild in your eyes. She's working at the Neiman Marcus. That new wristwatch she got you makes people stay. We met in high school, and I always knew that you were trouble. But maybe I saw something good that wasn't there. And ooh, I can hear you laughing on the ceiling. Ooh, but did you ever stop to think about
Dust Bowl Revival, Chico Performances, and that's, let's see, March 29th is the date for that. All righty, always nice to have Stephen come in, and so much fabulous entertainment that comes in through the university, and one of the benefits of having them as our neighbor. We're very happy about that. Thanks for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond. I'll be here for another half hour. My name's Ray. I'll be your host today. At which time, 7 o'clock, it looks like it's peanut butter and jelly time with Groovy Grandma. So, hope everybody's staying cool out there. Massive fires. If for some reason you think you want to go up in the Reading area, don't, unless you have to. Check the news. The fire up there has increased to beyond, last I heard it was 26,000 acres. It grew by 6,000 today. So there are some homes burned and things like that. But 299, everything west of Reading is closed. So best just avoid the area. The smoke is really, really bad up there, I understand, if you think it's bad here in Chico. And our hearts go out to those people. If you do have to go up that way, please check Caltrans. Go to the Cal Fire website, and you can get some information off of that. Okay, I have an interview that I recorded earlier this week, yesterday actually, with Josh Haig from Uncle Dad's. Let's get right into it. Thanks for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond. I'm here with Josh Haig. You know him from Bog, and also one of the main forces of Uncle Dad's Art Collective. How you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you?
I am doing well.
Awesome.
I understand you have another project coming up.
That's right, yeah. We're working right now on Small Town Big Sound 2018. It's our fourth year of doing this annual show where we take North State songwriters and then take their material and arrange it for a large band. This year we're up in our game. We usually perform it just in Chico. This year we've got a big room, but we're doing a touring show, including dates in Weaverville, Reading, and Orland. And this time, typically we do a brass quartet and string quartet, but we decided this year to do a 12-piece chamber string section plus all the regular pieces, which makes about a 20-piece band backing these songwriters up. So it's going to be loud, big, bombastic, and a great celebration of our North State songwriters and North State music.
Wow, that's quite an undertaking, huh?
It is. It is. Sleep is boring.
Yeah, you don't need sleep. Nah. Sleep later on in life. So what inspired you to make it such a big ensemble?
Yeah, well, we went into the show knowing we wanted to do a touring group. We've always, since Uncle Dad started, we've always said, you know, you put in years and years. Not in the years, hold on. Can you edit this at all? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You do months and months of work on a show, and then you end up with a show that you perform once and then you never do it again.
Right.
But we always thought it'd be important to take these and present them to other communities and other spots to show what we have in our special little hole in Northern California. So we decided to put this big band together that we could travel with, and that was kind of the basis for this year's show.
Yeah, it's pretty big undertaking. So, I mean, plus you'll have the singers on stage as well.
That's right.
And I imagine some of them are musicians or instrumental musicians, so they'll be playing along.
Yeah, we have this year we have four instrumental compositions, which we always try to tell the people in the community when they submit that we like those instrumental ones too, because it's a break from just different sounds. You know, being a composer, being a songwriter doesn't mean a guitar and voice.
Right.
It means all sorts of different things. So when we asked these people to submit, they gave us all sorts of cool stuff. So we have tons of awesome songwriters. Some people have seen before. in past shows and past Uncle Dad stuff, and some brand new people. We have about half of the people who've never done an Uncle Dad event before.
Oh, really?
So this is really exciting, too.
Oh, nice, yeah. Nice. And so the ensemble, I mean, I understand some of the people are out of the North State Symphony?
That's right, yeah. So we've worked with the North State Symphony a couple years back. We did their Pops concert, and we made good connections with them, and we talked to them, said we want to put together this chamber string ensemble, and they've been really gracious, Elizabeth and their executive director, putting together a band and helping us figure out these players, because we need, the problem with these songs is, one, the players have to be phenomenal, and two, our rehearsals are very minimal because there's so much material and we don't have much time.
Sure.
So we need the best players in North State, and so you go to the symphony, and so we get to work with these amazing musicians again, which is a highlight for me.
Right, so you give them the charts and...
That's right. You one read-through and you're done, which is really cool.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds pretty exciting. So it's really a work in progress and a creation amongst itself right happening in front of you.
That's right, yeah. You know, I won't actually... I mean, I'm music directing the material, and I won't actually hear it the way it's supposed to be heard until maybe 2 days before we're ready to present it on stage to people.
Wow.
Which is kind of an exciting, exhilarating thing. But also terrifying.
Make sure you have a big pencil with you.
Oh, yes, no. The notes and rehearsals are very important and very structured, and we do a lot of good work. So we've done that before, and it's always worked out great because we have great players and great songs.
Well, that's awesome. And I understand you're partnering with different arts councils in the North State to work these different locations and venues.
That's right, yeah. We wanted to do one show in every county. So we have Butte County.
Beautiful.
Butte County, Shasta County, Plumas County, Tehama County. No, Trinity County and Tehama County.
Yeah.
Sorry. And it kind of worked out that all these arts councils are, all these towns are really interested and excited about these kinds of projects, which makes you think, you know, the Chico spark, that magic that we have here is all over the place. Which is really cool.
Well, that was kind of a loaded question because that comes right into the swing zone of this program and what Deborah has been working on for years and years at Friends of the Arts is to work collectively and collaboratively with all of the smaller counties in the North State. I mean, we just don't get a lot of attention. Chico being, you know, the big city, Chico and Redding,
right.
In all of Northern California, which is like the size of Massachusetts and Vermont combined. Probably you can throw New Hampshire in there. But if you look at the landmass of space, the only way you get attention is if you can all work together.
Yeah.
And collaborating and sharing artists. It's something that we did. NorCal Jazz Festival is part of that mentality, moving it around.
Exactly.
And working with the partnerships from all these different places, which is awesome.
Which I think it's important, too, because it you know, the North State, it's nice to have it feel a little bit smaller. You know, like you said, Chico and Redding can kind of feel a little isolated or like we do our thing, but... what's cool is that, you know, you give calls to these smaller towns and the people there are just as capable and enthusiastic. They have beautiful venues.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, and they're, you know, I call someone and say, hey, we want to present this huge, ridiculous show in your town. And they say, yes, let's make it happen. And that's such a spirit that I always kind of equated to being like Chico. And then you hear it in other cities and it's just, you know, that this is the community that I want to live in.
Right.
But this community is bigger and bigger as I see more of it and talk to more people.
Yeah, and it's really true. You know, for years and years, I lived in Paradise, worked in Chico back in my tie-dye days, and I mean, I was on the road a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot, like 30 weekends a year, and I would drive everywhere. I'd go to the East Coast. I'd be in Arizona. I'd be in Colorado. I'd be in Jackson, Wyoming. But I didn't go to places like Weaverville or Redding or something.
Right.
You know, you fall into this kind of lockstep of, oh, you're in Chico. Oh, all the way to Redding or why would I go there? So, you know, we don't really see a lot of, you know, you go to like Lassen Park, you go to the, you know, those kind of things. But just to go to these places and experience them, go to shows or have dinner and stuff.
Sure.
And then having been working with the Jazz Festival and with Friends of the Arts, all of a sudden I'm all over the North State. And I'm like, yeah, it's a blink of an eye, drag to go to Oroville or to go to Redding or out to Weaverville. Yeah, it's, you know, it's an hour and 50 minutes, big deal. It's, you know, but you really get that smaller. It brings the community together.
Oh yeah,
you get that smaller community thing of saying, oh, I got to go all the way to Yuba City. You know?
Some of the best shows I performed are in those small cities, I think, just because people are are enthusiastic and excited, which fuels the musicians on stage. It's kind of this symbiotic relationship.
Right.
Whereas a big city, I feel like when I played in San Francisco, you feel like everyone's judging you because they've seen this kind of stuff over and over again.
Well, and you get a different vibe and a different electricity. And you've played up in Dunsmuir.
I play better in Dunsmuir than I do in San Francisco every single night.
Well, and the people are going crazy.
Yeah.
And they love it. And the band just sucks up that energy.
Exactly.
And Weaverville, same kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be true in Orland and those things. So let's go through the schedule quick. So the tour opens.
Right.
On
September 6th at the Sierra Nevada Big Room. That's kind of our home base. This is where that show was created for that room. So September 6th at the Sierra Nevada Big Room. And then on the 7th, we go up to Weaverville at the Trinity Alps Performing Arts Center.
Oh, that's a beautiful facility.
And I'm so excited because I know the venue. I've never played there, but it's so beautiful. And then after that, we go back down and we go to Orland at the new continuing education facility they just built.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that.
It's beautiful. And they built a hall that's multi-purpose for concerts and lectures, and we're going to be using that.
How big is that room?
It's about 150, 200.
Oh, yeah, cool. Okay.
Yeah, it's a nice room and cool people to work with, and their mission is really, really something we believe in. And then finally we end Sunday the 9th in Reading at the Sundial Bridge Amphitheater.
Right, Riverfront Park,
Riverfront
I believe it's officially called.
Yeah. Which I've played at once before through various within a band in various bands and
The Big Mo gig,
yeah,
for the Sundial Music Festival.
You play, you're literally the water is there. I mean, you're on the water.
Yeah,
and it's the most. I was breathtaking. It took my breath away, and I wasn't expecting to play in a place with that much natural beauty. And you see the bridge right next to you; it's incredible.
It's really amazing. It's a little bowl amphitheater, grass amphitheater with a stage, right up against the river. Beautiful trees around it. So if you're watching the band, you watch the Sacramento River roll behind.
And it's shaded.
The band.
Yeah, really well shaded.
And the Sundial Bridge is right to your right. And
yeah, awesome.
It's funny. After that gig, you guys were up there for on the solstice. After we got cleaned up, we went out and took a walk on the Sundial Bridge at it was 11:30 or midnight or something, you know. And I was shocked how many people were out there.
Yeah.
There was a photographer all set up. It was fabulous.
Yeah.
Right? And I looked back and I thought, the one thing I didn't do is go up there during the concert and check out the, you know.
Sure.
Get the view. And
that's cool.
It's, I want to see how it sounds up here. And I kind of got sidetracked. And didn't do that, but I'm going to do that for
next time,
gig. So let's see. Shasta County Arts Council
is
doing the Sundial Music event. Trinity Arts Council, Jill Richards up there in Weaverville.
That's right.
She's doing the one in Trinity. And then is it the Tama County Arts Council you're working with?
No, it's actually the Glenn County Board of Education.
Glenn County. Oh,
yeah.
That's right. Glenn County Board of Ed.
Okay. Yeah, they're the ones sponsoring that event.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Okay, so if people... I know you're getting ready to start the marketing for this probably, August 1st or something?
Yeah, people will start getting sick of it very soon.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. We like to make people sick of our events. How do they... ticket sales, I'm sure, for everything. Just go to Uncle Dad's website?
UncleDad.co. We're not a .com. We're .co. UncleDad.co. And we'll have a list of all the different spots you can get tickets. And if you come to any of our events, we do our monthly jazz jams. We have a bunch of other handful of concerts. We always have tickets available there, and then you can support local establishments as well as not pay convenience fees and all that stuff.
Yeah. That's always good to go. And the one up in Reading is that's a big venue. That place will hold 1,000 people or something, so I'm told.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, for the gig you guys had, I think we were shocked when we finally did the total because it's, you know, people are coming and going and they're walking around. But I think we had 250, 275 in there.
That's awesome.
And it looked like, you know, so you can get a lot of people. Bring a lawn chair. You're on the river. If you want to bring your fishing gear, if you want to bring an inner tube.
Sure.
If you bring the inner tube, you probably end up in Anderson if you don't tie yourself to a tree because the Sacramento River is moving and it's really cold.
Yeah.
But you're literally right on the river. Sundial Bridge is right there. There will be food trucks at that event. There'll be a beer and wine garden.
That's right.
There'll be a kids zone and there'll be... like ice cream and, you know, all that kind of cool stuff. And that's an afternoon gig, right?
That's right. I believe it's...
3 o'clock doors?
3 o'clock doors, 4 o'clock show.
Right. So, big fun. You can bring a cooler, no outside alcohol, no pets, all that groovy stuff. But You guys are expanding. It's great. And it's great. It's,
yeah, we're having a blast, and we appreciate the community and all the support, and we hope people are excited to... I was just telling you before we started recording, you know, I was working on the material, doing all the scores, and seeing how they're all going to fit together, and I was kind of blown away. Like, this is going to... The music is going to fit the scope of the touring project. It's going to be incredible music.
And it's a eclectic blend of different types of music, would you say?
There's some classical, there's some jazz, there's some funk, there's some blues. It's all over the place. It's pretty cool.
Nice. Oh, and it's always fun to hear, classically trained musicians, like, you know, do other stuff.
That's our forte. We say, you normally do it like this, now try it like this.
Right. Well, and they're fabulous. You know, you have to be at the skill level to play that kind of music.
Oh, yeah.
Is off the hook. And not to say other styles of music don't have that intensity, but to see these people, like, you know, do something else, you know, mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, dude, that guy shreds, man. Are you kidding
me? Exactly, yeah.
So it's pretty fun. Again, all information at Uncle Dad's. Hey, I'm just thinking in the future, next year, let's get Siskiyou County involved.
Let's do it, yeah.
Either see if we can get you guys up in Dunsmuir or Mount Shasta.
This
would
is
be
our
a fun venue.
This
too.
Is our favorite annual event that we do. And so we're looking to do it every year and just kind of pick up a new piece. Last year, we did an album. So this year, we decided we wanted to do this touring part. So next year, who knows?
Right on, man.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for taking time.
You bet.
Thanks for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond.
Josh. Alrighty. A little interview there with Uncle Dad's Josh Haig, our man from Uncle Dad's Art Collective. And then we've got another interview, kind of a short one here that we'll get into about the Sea Cadets, an interesting group here in
Golden Bear chapter, is that correct?
Golden Bear Division.
Golden Bear Division. Hey, Will, welcome to Butte Views and Beyond.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about the Sea Cadets and maybe a little back history and what you guys do.
Well, the Sea Cadets is a youth leadership organization sponsored by the Navy and the Coast Guard. It was established in 1962, so we've been around a little over 50 years nationally. There are numerous units throughout the country in Puerto Rico. And so we're run by the national organization, but each local unit kind of controls themselves. Here at Chico, we have our nonprofit status, so we do very limited fundraising in order to just keep our operating costs down. My goal is not to have the cadets go out and do fundraising. I would just want them to have fun and see the value of the program, not out constantly trying to raise money so we can do things.
Yeah, for sure.
The program is actually divided into two different programs. We've got a junior program and a senior program. So our junior program is called the Navy League Cadets.
Okay.
And that's for kids ages 10 to 13. And the big difference between them is that the trainings that they go to are more age appropriate and they're shorter.
Okay.
The senior program is for kids who are 13 to 18 years old. They're a little bit the trainings are a little bit longer. They're more age appropriate for them because their minds are getting more to the adult stage and they can take more information in. And then some of the things that they do have an age requirement. So if they go to, say, scuba school, they've got to be a minimum of 16 years old.
Okay, to get scuba certified.
To go to the scuba schools.
Yeah. Okay.
And they can be, those are competitive. So you just don't sign up for it and go. You've got to submit an essay and you've got to be accepted.
Okay. So let's, we'll just back up a little bit. So Sea Cadets are involved in, I guess, nautical. How would you explain that?
The Sea Cadets was founded to develop an interest in the seagoing or the maritime industry.
Sure.
It's kind of evolved to teach leadership skills in addition to piquing interest in the maritime industry.
Right, yeah.
And we do all this in a gang-free, drug-free, alcohol-free work environment.
Right. Now, you know, that's funny. When you started telling me this, we talked last week and discussed this. My dad they called them Sea Scouts back
right,
in the day.
Right, and that was a little bit different organization. That's with the Boy Scouts.
Oh, right, okay. But, he was a Sea Scout, you know, back in the 30s.
Right.
Or late 20s or something, you know, and would tell us about, you know, learning to sail and that. It always fascinated me, so. when you told me you were involved in something like this, I said, oh, this is great. I'd love to learn more about it.
Right. It's a great program. I was a sea cadet when I was in high school.
Okay.
I left the program for many years when I went in the military and then threw my civilian career. And I got back into it about 6 years ago because my sons wanted to get involved.
Oh, great.
And they got involved, and they both came in and both decided they didn't want to do the program anymore, and I stayed.
Well, that's, you know, that's what parenting's a lot like.
Yeah, a lot of these cadets that we have, they are like my kids.
Yeah, yeah. You build that bond. And,
yeah, we get very attached to them. Mm-hmm. So I guess at the local level, what we do is we try to get some type of STEM training done during each one of our drills. Obviously, being landlocked, it's difficult for me to get them out on the water.
Sure.
But we are looking at having the Coast Guard come up, or the Coast Guard Auxiliary come up and do a butter safety class for us.
Okay.
To get them certified to run small boats.
Mm-hmm.
We have different trainings that they can go to when school's not in session. Whether that's during winter break or summer break, or sometimes during other breaks, and if those trainings correspond to different types of jobs that are in the military. So, if the Navy or the Coast Guard has a job for it, we've got some type of training for it. Whether that's learning how to cook, or whether that's learning how to be a master at arms or a Navy policeman. All the way up to, there are special forces schools that are very competitive to get into.
And technical training and all those things as
yes.
well, everything in between?
Correct. And I had several of our cadets this year go to a lifeguard training.
Oh, perfect.
So
yeah.
What was really nice about that is not only did they get the training, but they came out with a certification so that they can now go get a job as a lifeguard.
Sure, they can go be the lifeguard at 1 mile.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, so it's got a lot of crossover and...
It does, and... Being a program that's with the Navy or the Coast Guard, I think a lot of people are going to think we are a recruiting avenue for them. You know, we're going to push them into the military, and that's not the case. If any of our cadets decide to go in the military, we'll support them on that. If they don't, that's okay too. We want them to be well-rounded individuals. We want them to have the leadership skills that are going to serve them, whether it's military, civilian, wherever they go in life.
Yeah, and I think that's important these days. Again, that leadership skills. Full disclosure, I was a Boy Scout. My dad was. I said a Sea Scout. He was also in the Boy Scouts. And I look back at that. I was 11, probably until I was 14 or 15 or something like that. And growing up in New York City, it was a way for us to go camping.
Right.
Get out of the city and sleep in tents and sleeping bags and go hiking and do all these kid things and be kids in the woods, basically, which I guess if you grew up in a rural area, you know, that doesn't have that much appeal, but it was great for us, and I look back at those times, and they definitely helped mold the person I later became just by being responsible, leadership skills, doing what you say you're going to do,
mm-hmm.
and those kind of things. And a lot of times it's hard to absorb those from your parents, because let's face it, your parents are constantly telling kids what to do, and the kids are constantly repelling that.
Right.
But when it comes
exactly.
from a third party, mm-hmm. either another peer, maybe somebody a little older, or another adult, it has a phenomenal effect.
Right, and that's what we do. We try to teach leadership at the lowest level.
Yeah.
So I've got, you know, cadets who are my leading petty officer, my assistant leading petty officer. I've got cadets.
All righty, we're squeezing it out. Again, Chico Sea Cadets, if you're looking for information, on Facebook. Thank you for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond. My name's Ray. We also want to thank Peter Tichinen, now a real estate broker with Century 21, Jeffrey's Lion, urging you to support community radio. Peter can be reached by calling 530-680-1900 or, of course, at ChicoHomes.com, and also by Oster Long Life Learning Institute, celebrating 30 years of lifelong learning at CSU Chico. Ollie offers more than 130 peer-led classes this fall, including a wide range of intellectual, cultural, social, and recreational activities. If you're over 50 years old, retired, Oli is a great way to keep learning. Fall classes preview on August 9th at 10 a.m. at Manzanita Place. More information, you can call 898-6679 or visit oli.csuchico.edu. Thank you for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond. And we're going to roll right into peanut butter and jelly time here on the Mighty Zephyr.
It's peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time.
Peanut butter jelly time.
Way up.
Baseball bat. Baseball bat.
To the peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
Now tic-tac-toe. Tic-tac-toe.
Let's go.
Tic-tac-toe.
You got it.
Tic-tac-toe.
Let's ride.
Way up. Way up. Way up. Way up.
Now there you go. There you go. There you go. There you go.
Peanut butter jelly.